1 Samuel chapter 13. Look with me in verse 7. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Mishmash. Therefore," said I, "the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept the commandment. Thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you, Lord, for the singing. I pray that it has honored and uplifted your name. But Lord, it's preaching time now, and Lord, just want to honor you with the preaching, but I desire and need help. Lord, I'm just a feeble man, certainly needing direction and needing a touch. And Lord, I pray that you'd allow me to preach as dying men to dying people. And Lord, that whatever that would need to be done in folks' hearts today would be done. And the Word of God would just begin to penetrate into folks' hearts, and Lord, we would see the Word of God for what it says and for what it is this morning. Lord, I pray if there's one here lost, save them. Help the one that needs help. Encourage those that need encouragement. Anoint us afresh in that from heaven and touch us. God, I pray with the Holy Spirit now, stir in our heart what you have gave us to preach. And Lord, we'll give you the glory for it. Save that sinner's nearest tale for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. A very familiar scripture in that dealing, if you've studied your Bible at all, dealing with King Saul. Now, Saul has not been king all that long right here. He has been for some time, a year or two. But now there was a time when Samuel was going to come down and meet him. And Samuel had not come yet. And so Saul decides that he is going to go ahead and offer the sacrifice. As I looked at this passage of Scripture and thought about it, I thought about the title of this message, In Serving God, My Way. Frank Sinatra popularized a song back in the late 60s and through the 70s entitled, I Did It My Way. When we serve God, we can't serve God our way. We got to serve God His way. As a matter of fact, and I'll get ahead of myself, but as you find right here, that two different times that he talks about the commandment of the Lord, "Thou hast done foolishly, thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord." And then in verse 14, he said, "Because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." Our ways, by way of introduction, let me say quickly that our ways are to please the Lord. The book of Proverbs chapter 16 said, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." Ain't that a good proverb today? Listen, trust me, me and you's got enemies today, and folk that would be against us and are against us, but when our ways please God, he makes our enemies at peace with us. I believe that's why we find the truth of King Solomon over there. Everything Solomon wanted to do, especially through most of his life, was to please God. And Solomon had peace in his kingdom and round about. So when we please God, listen, I believe that we'll have the peace of God in our heart and peace of God and that about us. And I understand as I'm going to preach on it, on this today, that not all of us have the same job. When I talk about serving God, I'm going to serve God my way. Listen, I understand each of us has got a job, that there's different ways that we serve God. I understand that today. I mean, God don't make a preacher out of everybody. He don't make a Sunday school teacher out of everybody. But He does have certain ways and commandments out of this book that He expects us and that to follow. Let me say that there is only one way and that to come to God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot get saved any other way. You can't get saved your way. They say amen right there. There's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to get to God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks say that they're going to get to God some other way, whether by their good works or by their baptism or by whatever they may do out in the community. And while all those things are good, friend, there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Unless you come and trust Him in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, you cannot get to heaven until you trust Him and come His way. He's the only way to get there. I talked to a young man yesterday. I didn't have a track in my pocket. Always catches me without a track. And so there I was, didn't have a track. I said, Kelly, I said, we got a track in this car somewhere. And we looked through the car and didn't have one, and looked through her Bible and didn't have one. Shame on her. Ain't that right? Amen. It's her fault that I didn't have a track. That's right. And so we go through all that. And I finally just jumped out of the car. Boy was dumping the garbage where we were at. And I began to talk to him. I said, you live around here. And I know he didn't hardly talk like us. And he had lived in New Jersey and lived in Florida, and now he lives here. I mean, I wouldn't want to live nowhere else either. I wouldn't want to live in New Jersey. I wouldn't want to live in Florida either. Amen. I'm looking at him back there. I'm looking at him. Amen. That's right. That's good preaching. And so, if y'all don't know, Brother Hunter lives in Florida, by the way. And so I told him, and I began to talk to him, you go to church anywhere? And he was telling me where he went. And, you know, he said, I think it is. I thought, well, he really don't go that much if he's got to think about where he's going to church at. And I began to witness to him and talk to him about the Lord and tell him, I asked him if he was saved. And he says, the first thing I said is, do you know you're going to heaven? And he looked at me and said, I hope so. I know so. Amen. There's a difference. In 1 John 5:13, he said that you may know that you have eternal life. I believe he wants us to know. Heard a great message on that the other day. But I believe Christ wants us to know. I'll get started with my message here in a minute. This is good. And so as I stood there and talked to him, and he was basing all his works or all his hope to get to heaven in works. I said, and I told him, it don't matter. It matters about the work of Calvary and you trusting Christ. And he said, but you can't live, and he used some colorful language through all this, a bad life all your life and expect to get to heaven. I said, let me explain something. When Christ saves a man, he changes a man. I mean, I believe when you get saved, you get changed. Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And I'm not sure he ever got it. But I told him the truth. Folk are trying to get in some other way, serving God their way and wanting to get to heaven their way. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Three things this morning on serving God my way. We'll look at this, and then I've got lunch cooked for me, so I've got to hurry here. Amen. Let's look at it right here. Number one, first of all, look at the command that was given. Now, if you notice, Samuel was coming. You find that he had promised there was a set time for Samuel and that to come. Who was Samuel? Well, Samuel was the prophet and the priest and that for the nation of Israel during this time. You'll find right here that he told him. He said, thou hast done foolishly and hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee.
If you look down in verse 14, he said, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord God commanded thee. What has King Saul and that done? He has begun to get in a place that he does not belong in. He wants to serve God in a place that does not belong. Listen, it belonged to Samuel and that to do that, but it did not belong and that to King Saul. Y'all catching that today? Matter of fact, the Bible said in Numbers 18, thou therefore and thy sons. Moses is talking, or the Lord is talking to Moses. Moses is talking to Aaron. He said, thou therefore, thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest's office for everything of the altar and within the veil. And ye shall serve. And I have given your priest's office unto you as a service of gift. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. Listen, it was not King Saul's place to serve this way, but he wanted to. Can I say today that there is a lot of people, and we preached on being in order here a couple weeks ago. I won't even say a lot of people. There's some believers that wants to serve God their way. He wanted to serve God the way that he wanted to. Did you see that right there? He come in and he says, when Samuel didn't come, he decided he was going to go do this. Can I ask you this morning, did God lay out in the Old Testament, did he lay out in the law, and that whose position that was? I mean, he really did. If you go to the book of Exodus chapter 29, and thou shalt gird them with girdles, Aaron and his sons, and put the bonnets on him, and the priest's office shall be theirs for a perpetual statute. It belonged to Aaron and Aaron's lineage, and that to be the priest. And so you find right here that King Saul wanted to do something good, I guess you might say, but it wasn't his position, and it wasn't his place. And then I find that some people, as we looked at this passage, I begin to think about how that, if you look in the book of Colossians, Paul said this, for this cause we also, since the day that we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Let me ask you this. Do you think that King Saul knew that was not his place? I mean, when Samuel came down, he didn't excuse him and say, well, Saul, you didn't know that. He didn't pat him on the head and say, it's okay this time, but don't do it again the next time. As a matter of fact, he said, thou hast done foolishly, thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. It almost, as I read this, I almost think that, I don't know if Samuel told him, I don't know, I'm just reading between the lines here and preaching between the lines. You can take it and throw it out. I don't know if Samuel told him, I'll be down there in 7 days, I had to perform the sacrifice, but whatever you do, don't you do it. I don't know if that's the way the conversation went, but I do know this, that he had the law back there in the book of Exodus and in the book of Leviticus telling him not to do it. But he was going to serve God his way. Now, a lot of people do good things, but that ain't necessarily what God wants out of your life. A lot of people, they try to serve God in their own dictate of their own heart. I think that's what happened to Saul right here. We'll look at it. We'll look a little better at this here in a minute. But notice what he said in the book of Colossians that I read to you. He said this. He said, to have desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Wanted you to know some things. Wanted me to know some things. Wanted us to know God's will and to have understanding about God's will this morning. Ain't this exciting today? Amen. I knew we weren't going to shout it out on Mother's Day. I knew that when I got ready to preach it. Let me say this. Hopefully tonight will be better, so you make sure to come back. But he wanted them to know. Paul wanted the church at Colossus to know. He wanted them to have wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. He said, I want you to know some things and understand some things so you'll know how to please God. You'll know how to serve God and walk before God in all pleasing. How's your walk? Listen to me now. You're going to miss something. How's your walk before God today? How are you trying and that to serve God? Are you trying to serve God? Are we trying? I mean, is He not worthy of our service today? I believe He is. I think Christ Jesus, Lord, is worthy of me serving Him. He loved me, died for me, saved me, gave me a home in heaven for what my sins, the slate of my sins, clean. I mean, I'm His forever. I think He deserves my service today. I think He deserves it. A lot of people want to serve however they want to serve. They serve in church. You know, service, preachers, and I'm one of them sometimes that gets hung up. We talk about serving the Lord. I get hung up that we must serve in church. And that's the only place we can serve. Well, we do need to serve in church. Amen. But our service does not stop here. A lot of people, they have that misconception that service for the Lord. You know, if you come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and put money in the plate back there, by the way, a lot of people, they serve in that plate and just give whatever they want to. I think you ought to give a tenth. I believe the Bible teaches that, a tithe over there. You can argue with me if you want to, but we find that from the beginning of Scripture all the way through it. Now, some of y'all didn't get mad at all. You know who got mad this morning when I talk about tithing? People that don't tithe. That's like telling people they ought to be faithful to church. You know who gets upset when you start preaching about being faithful to church and being faithful to God? Folk that ain't faithful. But what about our daily walk with God? How is your daily walk with the Lord in serving Him? He said that you what? Might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And then He said, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Let me ask you this. Where do you get the dictates of your heart at? What dictates your heart? What drives? Where are your convictions from? Where are your standards from? What makes you want to love your neighbor? What makes you want to come to church and be faithful to church? What makes you want to give like you give? Well, let me ask you this. What keeps you out of church? Or what makes you not love your neighbor? Or not give like you should give? He said right here that we would have what? That we would have knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Where does that all come from? Well, it all comes from this book. You want to know how to serve God? This book. I mean, the commandment of the Lord, he told him twice. He said, you have not kept the commandment of the Lord. Right here, this book. I mean, folk, they want to serve God their way, but it is outside the bounds of this book. Let me ask you something. And I'm not after your money. I really ain't. I'm trying to get you to a place out of where you can serve God and Him be happy with you. And I'm just using money as an example. And we'll move on off of it when I say this. But listen, out of everything that God's blessed you with, and then we get so tight that we don't want to give it back to Him. You can't outgive God. I mean, you just can't do it. You cannot outgive Him. Listen, he talks about casting thy bread upon water, and many days it'll return it. Hey, listen, you can't outgive Him. He always gives it back. I've learned that all over the years. I told you I was going to get off that. I'll move on. But we try to serve God our way. Some people try to serve in the world and try to serve God at the same time. They brush up against, if there was a fence between the world and serving God, a lot of people are picking their clothes on that barbed wire fence because they're trying to serve God their way. I hope that ain't you this morning. There must be a separation of the world and from sin. You know, the Bible said in the book of James, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And so we look into the Word of God. He said, if you look into the perfect law of liberty, the Word of God, and then continue therein, to know the commandment of God, to know how to serve Him. Can I tell you that, what's the Bible tell us over? That the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. A lot of people look at the commandments of God as being something grievous. Hard to do, hard to accomplish. Well, it's only hard when you want to live like the world. Am I telling you I'm perfect? No. Do I have it all figured out? No. Do I want to serve God? Yes. Do I want to serve Him like He wants me to? Yes. Am I going to get it right all the time? No. But I'm sure enough going to try. I'm going to strive. I'm going to work toward it. I'm going to take this book and I'm going to read and I'm going to study and I'm going to say, Lord, what do you want me to do right here? Saul wanted to do it his way. There's a lot of churches trying to do it their way, ain't there? What about when things are not specific? You ever, and what I mean by that in service, we know that we're to stay separated from the Lord. We know that. I don't want to beat you up about that. Y'all know that. I know that. Listen, we're to stay separated from. We know that we're to tie. We know we're to be faithful to church. But there's some directions in our life. I've been working on a message just a little bit at a time. What do you do when you come to a fork in the road? And what happens if neither fork is bad? You know, it's easy to make a decision when one fork is going to take us away from God and the other one's going to keep us right there with Him. Well, that's an easy decision, ain't it? But what about when you come to a fork in the road and it's out there and you look at it and you weigh it out and you pray and neither one of them's bad, neither way to go is bad. And what do? One, you pray. And sometimes you got to pray hard. You ever pray hard? I mean hard. Pray hard, seek God. Ask God for help. Say, Lord, what do I do right here? Give me some scripture right here to help me out with this, what I'm fixing to do. Give me something, Lord. You ever been there? You ever said, Lord, I just need some direction right here in what to do. I just want to make the right decision. And in the most honest part of your heart, you tell God that. He knows you're being honest about wanting to serve Him. And it still seems like He's quiet. What do you do? You take what you know about this book that is in front of you and you make that decision. There's been times that God's just been quiet. And we take what we know about this book and what God has given us direction in and then we go do it. But King Saul had a command to do it God's way. We've got a command to do it His way. He's given us a whole book and how to follow Him and trust Him and serve Him. Do you not think God deserves our service today? I think He does. I think He does. I think He just deserves our life today for us to serve Him. I remember Brother Eric Peters coming by years ago and he preached a message from here that was entitled, I owe, so off to work I go. We owe Him for everything. We ought to want to serve Him. Our heart ought to have a place, a desire to serve the Lord. So King Saul, he gives up on the commandment of God. And number two, notice the excuses that he made. I love King Saul for this. He's always got an excuse for what he's done wrong. If you look in the text verse, Samuel come down and he asked him. He said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw the people were scattered from me, and thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. So his excuses were, first of all, the people were scattered from me. I thought about churches today. Churches that used to be full, and some have begun to get away from Bible doctrine and Bible preaching. What I mean by that is the congregation does not want that. And so they begin to get away. And so that church, instead of continuing with good Bible preaching, good scriptural singing, the songs of Zion, they begin to let some worldly things in. Why? Because the people were leaving. You know what? I would rather stand out on, and I'm going to be careful what I say right here, but I would rather stand out on street corner and preach as to sacrifice what's right in this church house. It'll not be me that does that as long as I stay in my right mind. Amen. I'm not giving up on what's right. I'm not giving up on Bible preaching. I'm not giving up on scriptural singing and Bible teaching. I'm not giving up on that. But there's a lot of churches that have done that. They brought in what sounds like worldly music and worldly singing to try to attract people to come in. And by the way, you'll make an attraction and you'll get people to come. You say, well, the old time way just don't work anymore. I can take you and show you churches that it does. The old time way meant we had to serve and we had to work. There are a lot of people just don't want to serve and work. When's the last time you invited your neighbor to church? When's the last time you ever witnessed anybody? When's the last time you was concerned for your neighbor? You ever think if you might invite them to church, they might come? Don't happen all the time, but boy, it does sometimes. But he said the people were scattered from me. We have excuses for why we do what we do. He said, Samuel, by the way, you didn't come. Listen to me now. Samuel, you didn't come when you were supposed to come. And you know, as a matter of fact, Samuel didn't say nothing here, did he? He didn't say, well, I got held up or my mule died on the way down here and I had to walk. And none of those things. He didn't offer King Saul, like I said at the beginning, he didn't say, well, you couldn't help it, Saul. I couldn't get here on time to do these things. As a matter of fact, he said, Saul, not only were the people scattered from me and you wasn't here, but he said, I was afraid the Philistines was going to come down and begin to fight with us. Let me ask you, what is your excuse for serving God the way you're serving today if you're not serving right? Do I assume that everybody in this church house is serving wrong? Not in a long shot. No, I've been around most of you. I'm not wanting to toot you his horn and blow you up and stuff like that, but I really hope you're serving God the right way. I really do. I mean that with all my heart. I'm not wanting to beat up on you. But listen to me this morning. We get in our minds, we forget what the Word of God says or shove it to the side and say, I'm going to serve God this way. Take your Bible and go to the book of Isaiah chapter 1. Let me show you something. You say, well, we're in church this morning. That's good. I'm glad you're here. Let me show you something. Just because you're in church this morning does not mean you're serving God right. Now, I hope you are. Isaiah chapter 1. I'm going to read quite a bit here, but stay with me. I'll read fast. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, verse 1, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. Now can I park right here and say this? He said the more you go into this, the more you're just going to revolt and go further and further into rebellion. You know something I learned about people in rebellion? When people have a problem, you know, rebellion has to deal with authority, right? And you show me people that has one problem with authority, they got all kinds of problems with authority. You show me somebody that's in rebellion, they not only have rebellion against mom and daddy, not only against the police, not only against the preacher, they got rebellion against all of it, and they don't have nothing to do with God's word. They're in rebellion. Just a rebel. And that's what was going on right here. They were in rebellion. They had forsaken God. And he said, look, you're just going away backward. And he said, why should you be stricken more? Will you revolt more and more? The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. Verse 6. From the sole of the foot, even under the head, there is no soundness in it. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up nor mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devoured in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in the garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we would have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. Didn't God tell them to do that? Verse 11. Did he not tell them to sacrifice? But he said, I am full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks or the lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Well, he did. God required that. Now, I'll deal with it. Don't lose me. He said, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me, the new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies. I cannot away with it. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. God had required all that. God had set all that up. God required the Sabbath. God required the new moons. God required the sacrifice. God required all of that. But in all of that, if you go on down through here, he says, and when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, and when we make many prayers, I will not hear. And when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead the widow. And then he said, come now and let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Kind of reminded me of Matthew chapter 23, where the Lord called them what? Oh, you Pharisees, scribes. He called them hypocrites, didn't he? Do you know that you can come to church and be here three times a week and put the money in like you're supposed to? But if your heart still ain't right with God, it don't matter. Don't matter. Just don't matter. They had a heart problem. They were keeping the law like they were supposed to as far as worship. They were coming in. They were making their sacrifice. They were coming to the house of God. And they what did he say? They had the blood of bullocks and lambs and goats. They were appearing before God. But notice what he said in verse 13. Bring no more vain oblations. All that stuff was vanity. When we come to church to worship, is it just vanity in God's eyes? Or are we here to worship Him? Are we here to serve Him? I don't know how I got off on it, but boy, ain't that good. King Saul had an excuse for what he's done. Go look in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Just two chapters over. Now, to make a long story, I'm going to have to shorten this up. Look in verse 1 of chapter 15. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid in wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. He said, go destroy them all. Is that what God said? That's what God said. God said, do that. And so look in verse 8. And he took Achak, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Who made the decision of what was vile and refuse and what was good? Well, Saul did, didn't he? What had God said? God said, go down there and utterly destroy all they have, inspire them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul and the people spared Achak, the best of the sheep and the oxen and the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. It's always the commandments, ain't it? It's always what God said. It's always what God's required. It's always what God has wanted us to do. And can I tell you this? God's very plain, ain't he, when it comes to serving. And Samuel rose early. Let me back up. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou the Lord. I love verse 13. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Did he? Can I tell you that King Saul, I really believe King Saul thought he had done what God wanted him to do. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they, not him, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people, boy, he's good at blaming somebody, spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. And then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. No, he didn't. He done it his way. King Saul had a problem with that, of wanting to do it his way. He always had a problem with that. You know why he was prideful? You know what drives you to do it your way? Pridefulness. You know why I do it my way sometimes? Because of me, because I want to, and that's what I decide. And it gets me in trouble every time. He said, yeah, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me. See, I done what God told me to do. Well, he didn't even get close, did he? And he said, I brought Achak, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, the sheep, the oxen, chief of the things, which have utterly been destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God and give God. Had an excuse, didn't he? We brought everything back to sacrifice. That ain't what God wanted. God didn't want them to sacrifice that stuff. God wanted them killed over there in Amalek. That's where he wanted them killed at. He didn't want them killed on the altar of God during a sacrifice. He wanted them killed over in Amalek. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice and hearken than the fat of rams. We can serve our way, but God ain't going to be happy. We can do good things. I mean, come to church is good, and you should tithe. And listen, you ought to love folk out there and do right. But if our hearts still ain't right, there's still some problems. So the outcome of it, don't make an excuse for doing it your way. Just understand it your way and then go on and serve God. Just get you out of the way and go on and serve God. What did Samuel tell him in the text scripture? He said, thou hast done foolishly. So God told him down here, if you read on in the passage of scripture, he told him what? He said, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. So that tells me Saul wasn't after God's own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord, or hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. So God said, the kingdom won't last with you, Saul. If you go on over and you look in the second time that he done this, in chapter 15, you find out that God took the kingdom from him. God quit dealing with King Saul. God quit talking to him. As a matter of fact, it was in the next chapter, if you read on, and in the next, or actually in the next chapter, you'll find out that that David comes on the scene. And David comes on the scene to play the harp, and that for King Saul to drive that evil spirit away. We don't find that there was an evil spirit bothering King Saul until right here. Why? When he done it his way. He was bound and determined to do it his way. The evil spirit come upon him. If you look at King Saul's life, it was right here that things really started to take a nosedive. God told him the kingdom wouldn't last to him. But knowing that, he still went on and done what he wanted to in chapter 15. God took the kingdom from him and then put him on a road of destruction. He tries to kill David. At one time, he threw a javelin at Jonathan, a spear, and tried to kill him. God would no longer talk to him. He ends up going talking to the witch of Endor. I mean, Saul just went down a road of destruction, didn't he? Why? Tried to do it his way. When we try to do it our way and not God's way, we're just going to mess it up. It made him bitter. It made him angry. It separated him from God. And all he had to do is get right with God and follow what God wanted him to do. You know what? God would have established the kingdom forever. Is that not what he told him over at one point? What did he not say? He said, let me go back and find it. You find that if we would just follow, you know, if you go on down to verse 23 of chapter 15, he said, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity of an idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. Now, he said, he hath also rejected thee from being king. He said, you just reject what God wants you to do, what he's told you to do. He said, God will reject you. And that's what he's done. And all that stuff sounded good, didn't it? He brought those animals back to sacrifice. He went in and performed a sacrifice in chapter 13 because the enemy was coming. And Samuel was not there. That all sounds good, don't it? But yet it wasn't the right thing to do. There's a lot of things that sounds good in serving the Lord, but it ain't the right thing to do. Let's bow our heads this morning, if we will.